Blog Talk Radio.
Young man, 35 riders. Let's go.
That's why I hunt. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a goat. Yeah, I ain't going to get some more. Can't be broke. That's why I hunt. I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Get me busting. Now I'm shining in the sun like it's nuts. Why I hunt?
I hunt so hard in the sun, rain, sleep, snow. I grind when it's jumping, even when the street's slow. Young Maine, that's the name that the streets know. I'm pushing X, wet, pills, crack, weed, blow. Monday to Sunday, not a day off. One day, all this hard work gon' pay off. I gotta get it, I'm on it soon as I wake up. Block hot, so I'm pumping it out of trailer. All the trash, we keep pissing off the neighbors. But fuck the laws, cause right now I need this paper. My rent late, my lights off, no water. My shoes old, my clothes dirty, no quarters. My car broke, I gotta walk, plus gas.
Yes.
I, in the world, wanna ask why.
I
ain't got shit, nigga, that's why. That's why I'm motherfucking.
Let me see who this is.
No, I'm a ghost. Yeah, I ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke. That's why I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Get me blessed. Now I'm shining. No, nothing like it's nuts. That's why I run. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost. Yeah, I ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke. That's why I run.
Back when I ain't have no money. Now I walk inside the mall and just blow money. We used to hit the club broke, man, with nothing on us. Now we known and get love from the club owners. She was in love with me, or I guess I thought she was. Thought she was bad, but wasn't bad as I thought she was. Welcome to Maine's world, where every day's Friday. Menage days with bitches that resemble Beyonce. Used to smoke dirt weed, now it's Kush only. Grind hard, hustle hard, push, homie. Back then, I ain't have a ride to the stove. Okay, it's cool, cause now my ride on 84. I had nothing, so I jumped up in the crack game. Kept hustling, and I jumped up in the rap game. Young man can't stop, won't stop, did it. Ask about me, they'll tell you who run this city.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost. Yeah, I ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke. That's why I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Kept hustling, now I'm shining. No, nothing like it's nuts. That's why I will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost. Yeah, I ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke. That's why I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Kept hustling, now I'm shining. No, nothing like it's nuts. Why
I'm a motherfucking hustler for real, homie. I get it on the block, on the highway, on probation, on parole, fresh out. I don't give a fuck. I gotta get it, know what I'm saying? If you broke, struggling, you ain't got shit, hustle. Legal or illegal, we gon' get it, man. All my female hustlers getting on their own, hustle.
Good evening, life is listeners to Global 14 Radio The Cut. This is Honest checking in with you every Wednesday night with the co-host Golden Fleece.
yes, another Wednesday. Great weather out here in Florida. I don't know.
Oh, wow, here we go.
Yeah, you know, that is, you know, it's Christmas time. Everybody's still, you know, feeling the Christmas spirit. You know, of course, we're going to get into, you know, the tragedy that happened, talk about that a little bit. That wasn't in the vein of the Christmas spirit, but we definitely have to send our prayers out to Connecticut. But, you know, other than that, things are on the up and up. You know, it's Christmas time.
That's right. That's right. And I want to tell you guys, I wanted to play a Christmas record coming in, but it was a lot going on. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to just have to let you guys ride in with the cut theme music, and then we'll get on to some Christmas records later, because actually tonight we have Rhonda Thomas, who was called in already and will be joining us to promote some projects. And we just can't wait to hear her story and her journey. It is incredible thus far from what I can only read. So I'm just excited to hear from her. Also,
definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. It is Christmas. It came up quick. I'm not ready, but I got to, you know, make it happen for the twins. They're all excited about it.
You know, the kids get excited around this time. You know, I don't have any, but my little nephew is super excited, you know, so got to make it a great one for him. But, man, I mean, the malls, the stores, mm-hmm. Walmart, the mm-hmm. mini marts, everything is like chaotic. And it's just like, man, you know, when that season comes around, it's going to be madness in the streets.
It is, and I was just kind of complaining about that earlier, about people not driving and driving crazy, but I just, you know, I got over it. But, yeah, it's going down, and, you know, we're going to be here next Wednesday as well after Christmas, so I definitely encourage everybody to call in and let us know how your holiday went. Global 14 Radio, if this is your first time tuning in, is the station via the brand global14.com, which is the social networking site of Jermaine Dupri. Now, this site features everything from news and blogs, fashion and exclusive music, and much more, as well as parties and events. Most of the time, JD's pretty much there, and he brings his celebrity friends as well, so it's pretty cool to come in, interact with them, and see how they get down and party. Golden is going to let you guys know you've been hitting us up and sending music. I got 3 new tracks in my email this past week about how you could be featured on the show and get your music in rotation. So I'll pass the mic to you so you can let the people know how to do that.
Oh, most definitely. You can definitely hit us up on our social networks. I'm at the Glue, THAGLUE, on Twitter. Onyx is at Onyx254. Or you can just hit us on Twitter, DM us, direct message us. We'll send you an email to send the track to. We both listen to it. We do go through the music. And we definitely, in 2013, will be ramping up playing independent artist music, actually listening to it in a critique type of format where we go through the song with you, the artist, and everybody just gives their constructive criticism, whether they love it, whether the beat could have been a little better, the vocals could have been a little better, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're here as a community to help everyone get better. So basically, you know, you guys give us insight, we give you insight, it all works together. So 2013 is going to be definitely about uplifting the artists, making sure we give as much information as we can. So make sure you submit your music. I've definitely been getting hit up about it. I'm terribly sorry about, you know, anybody that didn't listen to last week's show. You know, our host definitely went through a little something where we had to, you know, curb a few shows. But 2013, we will definitely be playing your music. So don't think we didn't play it for any reason. We had a great reason. 2013 is going to be a whole different ballgame, especially when it comes to independent artists. So,
no doubt. And
your
thank
music.
You. Yeah, thank you for mentioning that, because I totally I said it and then that was it. I didn't even think about the people who may have not caught the show. And then, like we do here on The Cut, we always like to kind of get into who's got the numbers and who's dropping what and who's hot and who's not. And actually, this week on the Pop Charts, number one is Kesha with Die Young. The number one rap song is Click with Kanye West, Jay-Z, and Big Sean. I love that one. On the Hot 100 is actually Rihanna with Diamonds, and she's holding down the R&B hip-hop song chart as well with number one with Diamonds. And then you have Rihanna with the number one album, Unapologetic. That's pretty much what I pulled up. It seems like Riri's just all over the place. You know, she doesn't
stop.
Yeah,
you know how it is around. Rihanna is, I think she's like a tour de force in herself. Like, that girl is like everything that you want in an artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could be
mm-hmm.
a model if she wants to. Great music. Crazy, has an edge, super personality. You know what I'm saying? It's like everything that you could sell, Rihanna has it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure, you know, Jay-Z and the boys, everybody over there that work with Rihanna, real happy with what she's doing. Everything she drops, it just, you know, she does well with it. So shout out to Rihanna. Hopefully her run continues, because she should be around for a while.
Yeah, seems to be that way, absolutely. Anything with the albums and mixtapes that you wanted to kind of highlight this week?
Oh, yeah, you know, you got a few mixtapes that dropped here. We got a few. And, you know, since we've been gone for a little while, maybe these are a little bit older, but I actually think we mentioned some of them on the last show. We have Kid Ink with Rocket Ship Shorty. BG to AOG, you know, BG's original Cash Money member.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Budden with A Loose Quarter. Care Package from Omarion. Back to Business with Trina. This Is Me from Jacob Lattimore. The Rejects, Rated R, and Scattered Thoughts by Chubby Jag. So, yeah, I think we mentioned those on the last show. Those mixtapes dropped. So a few of those dropped a little while ago. If you haven't checked them out, go check them out. A lot of different albums coming out that you definitely want to check out. You got T.I., Trouble Man album, which is, I think is excellent. I mean, he has some awesome music on that album. Chief Keef, which is super popular on YouTube, but have yet to see how he's going to do as far as his album sales. But Finally Rich by Chief Keef, you want to make sure you check that out. Also ASAP Rocky, we got ASAP Rocky with his joints. He has some dope music on his joint. You want to check him out. So there's a few heavy hitters. The Game has his album out.
That's right, you know, Jeezy dropped
Jesus Pieces. Yeah,
Jeezy dropped Wednesday with It's the World. I was super excited.
It's the world.
You know, it's
amazing. Been rocking since that dropped. I've been playing that in the car since that dropped.
But have you? I need to get back in the swing of things. I can't wait to get it. I'm so excited about that.
Oh, it's crazy. You're gonna love it. Yeah, I got that. Game's album. Dope. Game has some real nice music on that album. Real nice beats, man. He picked some awesome beats, man. So shout out to Game. So there's some good albums out right now. So if you're a hip hop fan and you like, you know, the good old hip hop, you got some great albums out there right now. You know what I'm saying? So check them out and see what you think.
No doubt, I definitely got to get back up to speed with those. And then if you're a fan of soulful music or R&B or Christmas music, then you're really going to get excited about this coming up again. Rhonda Thomas tonight is a special guest, and I'm going to drop two of her tracks before she joins us and shares with us her journey, what she's got going on moving forward, and her past, because that's the most exciting part, to kind of see how everyone starts and you know, how they've got to this point in the industry. Little Drummer Girl will be up. I can't talk tonight. Am I nervous? Maybe I'm nervous.
You know what it is? It's just we're coming off of a hiatus. Me too, I'm talking a lot. We're coming off of a hiatus. If you're doing like I'm doing, I'm like kind of running around like crazy, and finally when I get to sit down, I'm relaxing, so I'm probably still in
relax mode.
You know what I'm saying? Sorry to anybody listening.
I know. I'm going to get it together. Like, I promise. For you guys.
We'll both get it together. It's the holidays. You know how it is.
You sound great. I feel like I'm just tripping tonight. I really am. I'm over the
place. Man, there's pies cooked all around every house you go to. Trying out. Well, just try this one. You know how they always put one aside so you can try and taste it still for the holidays. So there's all types of stuff going on. Just bear with us. We here. We got Rhonda coming on, and we can't wait to get in that.
Alrighty. Yes. So I'm going to go ahead and drop, like I said, Little Drummer Girl. But first, I want to play Mistletoe, and this features Eric Robeson. Rhonda Thomas on G14 Radio The Cut.
It seems like yesterday the wrapped up in my arms. The fire's burning bright.
Warmth from the orange glow. But I look in your eyes,
in your
something
eyes,
in me knows. Things are here. Joy to me, you being here makes it all complete.
Just an excuse to be close to you. My favorite symbol of the season because of you.
Kiss me, baby.
Christmas time and we're under mistletoe. Christmas time and we're under mistletoe.
Much to give. Can I
celebrate the Savior's birth without expensive gifts. Now it doesn't mean that I've come without an offering. But what I have is from my heart, just for the newborn King. I'll sing my drum for Him. I'll give my best to Him. He gave Christ child was born to save, spread hope and joy to everyone. I'll sing my drum for Him. I'll give my best to Him. God's precious gift He gave Christ.
Rhonda Thomas with Little Drummer Girl, and right before that, that was Mistletoe with Eric Robeson, and actually has her live on the line with us. How are you, Miss Rhonda?
I am fabulous, Onyx. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you as well. I want to thank you for coming by the show. I know you have a pretty busy and hectic schedule. We're going to try not to take too much of your evening out, but we do want to thank you and appreciate you being on the show tonight.
Thank you. I'm just glad to be here. And hello, Golden Fleece. How are you?
Hey, I was just about to speak to you, Ms. How are you doing today? Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Thank you. I beat you to the punch. Yep.
You sure did. You're quick on the draw. I'm still lagging. I'm telling you that I told Onyx earlier, you know, you got so much family and you visit their house and they still got little pies and stuff getting ready for the holidays. And I've been just taking slices of pies and then I get home and I'm just sitting here relaxing like, oh, my goodness, I got to stop doing this. It's not even Christmas yet, but good times.
That's all right. You can start anew in the new year. Enjoy it.
Yeah, right? I'm like, yeah, January 1st, no more. And then somebody has leftovers, and I'm eating that too.
Well, let's go ahead and get right into it again. What we'd like to do here is actually always get a kind of a background story, if you will. So can you take us back, a snapshot, if you will, of your childhood and, you know, just a little bit about your upbringing and where you're from?
Sure. I grew up in Roosevelt, Long Island, New York, Strong Island in the house. And
Wait, hold up.
Yeah,
hold up.
We gotta stop.
I don't mean to stop the interview. Hold up.
Uh-oh. What happened?
I'm from Hempstead.
Oh, wow. My dad lived in Hempstead, right off of on Fairview
Get
Boulevard, near Hofstra University
Fairview.
And the Blimpies over there.
Yeah. What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, my cousin lived on Bird Street, was right across from Fairview Avenue, and I lived on California Avenue. The bus used to take us to Fairview Avenue all the time. We used to pick up like three kids from the avenue. We stayed on Fairview Avenue because we have a lot of friends that were on the avenue. It's so funny. I live in Orlando now and ran into a girl that I knew in New York from Fairview Avenue, and she lives right here in Orlando around me. And I hadn't seen her since New York and found her just walking through the mall out here. So
Strong
Island represents me everywhere.
Yes, you are. I knew as soon as you said that, Rhonda, I was like, hold up, got a shout out.
Right.
I love hearing you guys talk about the NY
I got
days.
So much family in Roosevelt, Freeport, Hempstead, Queens. So as soon as she said Roosevelt, I was like, well, wait a minute. This is the family.
That's right.
Okay, I went to Roosevelt High. So, yep, that's my stomping ground.
Awesome. I'm sorry.
Nah. We had to share that love. So I appreciate that.
Yes.
True indeed.
So I grew up in Roosevelt, and then I moved to Queens once I graduated from high school. Sang in schools and choirs, and sang at the Apollo and won there, and then moved to Connecticut and sang there. And in 96, I moved to Atlanta, and I got a gig during the Olympics, performing during the Olympics in Atlanta, and a couple of people heard me and asked me if I wanted to sing with Isaac Hayes. So I sang with him for 11 years before he passed away in 2008,
which was a fabulous opportunity
because he helped me promote my second CD. This Christmas CD is my fourth CD. I have two other like soul R&B CDs, and my first one was a straight ahead jazz CD. So it was just a fabulous opportunity to be able to, you know, tour with him all over the world and sing all of those classic R&B songs. Some of them I knew. Some of them, you know, I was just kind of young to really even be able to relate. But, I mean, my parents had played them. So I was like, okay, yeah, I know Walk On By and Shaft and all of that. And, you know, it was a wonderful experience. And so I've been singing in lots of different cities. Like I said, this is my fourth CD, my Christmas CD, and I'm just glad that people are receiving it well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you sound amazing, and we had an opportunity to check it out a while back when your manager sent it over, and it was really, really nice. It's so refreshing to hear that soulful sound, and then it being Christmas just makes it even all better. Now, you mentioned your parents played, so what is that how you kind of got involved in music? Was through your family?
Definitely.
As far as being introduced to the love?
My dad's originally from Antigua, West Indies, and now he lives in St. Croix, Virgin Islands. He retired and moved there, but like I said, all of my childhood into my teens, he lived in Hempstead, and he managed an R&B band called the New York Soul Syndicate, and they played a lot of Cameo and Earth, Wind & Fire and all of that, and they rehearsed in our basement. And my mother, she loved Nancy Wilson, Al Jarreau, Ray Charles, Angela Bofill. And then I listened, you know, to all of that. Plus I listened to, you know, some hip-hop and some DeBarge and stuff like that. And so I just grew up with all of this music around me, and I know that shaped me into who I am today.
Right. So would you say for sure you knew as a child, like, I'm going to be in this industry, I'm going to be a singer, a vocalist? Did you kind of already know then, being surrounded by all that?
It's interesting because my father was so focused on his band because Robin S., you might not know her, but she sang that song, "You've Got to Show Me Love." It was his house tune back in the day.
Hey.
And then he also had Vesta. Do you know that song?
Yes, and I know Vesta.
Okay, yes. Yep. So Vesta was in his group right before she moved to L.A. So he was really concentrating on his band, managing that band and working that huge group. There was a horn section and, you know, bass, drum, keys. There was like 14 people in that group. So my mom kept telling him when I was 7, you know, she has a really good voice. She could sing, but he wasn't paying any attention to that. And so my mom had me enter a talent show at my elementary school, Centennial Elementary School. And I won the talent show. And, you know, she would always talk to me about singing from my diaphragm and had me enroll in musical theater and dance classes. I danced with the children's company of the Dance Theater of Harlem and Alvin Ailey, and we would drive out to Harlem every weekend for my dance classes. And I know that groomed me to be able to command the stage and to have some type of stage presence and, you know, involve the crowd and just your whole presence because, you know, there's nothing like a dull singer that just gets up there and just evokes emotion. but doesn't mm-hmm. draw the crowd in. And I know that shaped me into who I am, and I thank her for that. But she always says, all those dance classes, I can't believe that you just sang. I thought you were going to dance, too. And I was like, well, yeah. I kind of flipped it a little bit.
No, and I'm so glad you shared that with us, because I was actually going to ask you, you know, when did you get the confidence that you knew, you know, I have this talent and I know I can do this. And so hearing you speak about being at the theaters and your mother involving you is just awesome, because that kind of stems from that. And now, if you will, you did mention Isaac Hayes, the legendary Isaac Hayes. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you actually landed that opportunity to sing background with him?
Yeah, I was actually singing at the Summer Olympic Games here in Atlanta, in addition to really just moving here and singing at different jam sessions, because, you know, mm-hmm. people knew me in New York and Connecticut area, but I was new to the Atlanta scene. And people from his camp heard me singing at jam sessions and just called me up, got my information from a bass player, and asked me if I wanted to tour with him and, you know, do a summer tour overseas. And I just remained with him from that time on for 11 years. I didn't even have to audition, so I know that was just ordained. It was like being out with a family of musicians. Some of us were from Memphis, from L.A., from Atlanta, and we would all come together for whatever the performance was in whatever city, whatever country. It was a fabulous time, and he was just a very generous and gracious person. I sang a duet with him on his song Do Your Thing at his shows, and he would shout out my CD and allow me to talk about my website, and I could sell CDs mm-hmm. at the shows. And he really encouraged me to, you know, be independent and welcome that and celebrated that. And I will be forever grateful to him. What makes me sad right now during the holidays is this is my first Christmas CD, and I really wish he was here to hear it
right.
because of all mm-hmm. the soulful elements. I definitely decided to record a CD that retained the soul and some of the funk and a little bit of the blues, mm-hmm. but definitely stayed traditional in some aspects. We just have so many artists. We have the Donny Hathaways, the Stevie Wonders, the Temptations, and I listen to that every year, and I love that music, but I think it's time for us to record songs that, you know, we can have as classics for the future.
Right. Instead of, you know, I hate to say recycling, but you know, that's a good point that you said that and that you brought that up. It is nice to have another classic on hand that from this generation, if you will. So touring with Isaac Hayes and all of that, I was going to ask you, you know, being a part of that, how it contributed to your growth as a breakout solo artist. I guess one of the kind of, can you kind of mention to us anything in particular that helped you to kind of, you know, you said he kind of coached you into doing the independent route. Did you see yourself being a solo artist, or was it going to be, you know, you were fine with doing background, if that makes sense?
I did them simultaneously. So when I wasn't out on the road with Isaac Hayes, I was performing and recording my CDs and working as a solo artist, but I used mm-hmm. that platform with him to help launch and, you know, propel my career, so that when we were in these venues overseas in Italy or in Nice or, you know, Switzerland, mm-hmm. On our downtime, I could be selling my CD and talking to people and making connections as an independent solo artist. So I really did not want to give up that gig, but I also knew mm-hmm. that in staying with him, it was somewhat of a crutch, because it was very convenient and fun, and it paid well, and the assets, the luxuries, it was great. But right before he passed away, he was about to start an independent label, and he was going to sign me to his label, and mm-hmm. I was about to break out on my own, and I was saying to him, look, I'm really going to have to probably step away from this, because it would take me away from some of the independent solo opportunities that were
mm-hmm.
placed before me, because sometimes I would be performing with him and I couldn't do my own thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I definitely had some decisions to make in the end, and I guess they were made for me, unfortunately.
Right. Yes, yes, ma'am. Totally understand. So we'll kind of move forward and get into your current projects, but I want to ask you this, and I have to, because I love hearing about touring in different places and countries. Anything that stand out to you that you can remember? I'm sure you have a lot of memories, but anything funny, anything crazy? What was the most exciting tour experience, if anything, in particular, that we can't find on Google and YouTube and all these other sites that are out right now? Anything you could share with us?
Wow. I love being in Nice, and this wasn't that funny, but I'll mention a couple of different things. In Nice, it was beautiful to see the stones. They didn't really have sand there. They had these black stones that were really smooth all over the beaches, and that was just beautiful to see. I love the
mm-hmm.
paella in Spain, just delicious. I love food, so that was a beautiful thing.
Me too.
I remember being in, was that Montreux, Switzerland? I can't remember where we were, but some festival where there was just mud everywhere and thousands and thousands and thousands of people, like it was like hippies being at Woodstock, and they were camped out, and we had to get these rubber boots so that we could just get through the gig, and they have been camped out ready to see Isaac Hayes. The beautiful thing about our the overseas music heads is that they truly appreciate classic soul. Unlike here
mm-hmm.
in the U.S., there are some of us that still retain the tradition of classic soul and revere our artists, but a lot of us don't. We consider them old school, and we call them old school. So
mm-hmm.
overseas, they'll come out in the thousands to hear an Isaac Hayes, whereas here, you know, even though we had some great performances, it just speaks to the point of so many of our classic soul artists going overseas to get that love. And, I mean, like I said, we had to get these boots, and we were just trucking through the mud. And, I mean, I didn't even feel the cold or the rain because of the electricity of the crowd. A funny Isaac Hayes story. I remember him coming to sit next to me on the plane and us going through a magazine. And he didn't realize that a lot of women in the magazines wore weave. And so I was trying to tell him, yeah, this chick, this woman
that
is really
funny.
Beautiful. Yes, she is. Right. And you know how men are about hair.
Yeah,
some of them just love hair all down your back.
Right.
Now, there are some brothers that are cool with the natural look, but some, they don't care. They just want that whole weaved look,
mm-hmm.
which, to me, that's fine, to each his own. But sometimes those looks are meant just for the magazine or just for entertainment. They're not
right.
for every day a big blonde weave in the office. So
right.
whatever, I digress. Let me get back to the point. The point is I'm sitting next to him, or he came to sit next to me on the plane, and I had my Essence magazine, and he was like, that girl is gorgeous. That one too. Look at that hair. And I said, you do know that's a weave, right? And he said, no, it's not a weave. I said,
oh,
look at the same person. I said, this
yes.
same person that you're looking at, 3 pages later, she has
right.
the short hair. So that's either a wig or a weave or something. He's like, for real? I said, yeah. So he went through the whole magazine. He was like, is that a weave? I said, yep. He said, that's
oh,
a weave too?
Goodness.
I said, yep. So that was
yes.
really funny. I got a kick out of that.
No, that is hilarious. And guys are like that, the ones, you know, they don't even think about it. You're like, oh, no, that's a weave. No, she got this done. No. So, yeah.
Right.
And again,
hold on.
I'm not
I knew you
the...
was going to come in.
Hold on. Let me stand
wait,
up.
Wait, before you say that, I wanted to say
that.
One more thing. I see hair and makeup and all that as accessories. So I think it's beautiful
mm-hmm.
to be able to change your look and do your thing. And that's,
no,
that's
I love
great.
It.
But
mm-hmm.
I think you need to be yourself. I think it needs to look good on you if you're going to do it. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Golden Fleece. What you got?
Yeah. No, most definitely. I agree totally with you. I agree totally. I think that you should be able to change it up. And, you know, the beauty is going to be there regardless. But
mm-hmm.
for some reason, it always goes down with men and women. My best friend and me went through the same thing, looking at girls like, is that a weave? Is that a weave? Because where the conversation stems from is, I think, is that girls be like, that ain't her real hair. Because all I said for this conversation to start with me and my best friend is, wow, she got some beautiful hair. And then immediately my best friend was like, man, that ain't her hair. She, that is not her hair. And I was like, okay, why would you say that? Oh, I could see that's not her hair. You can't tell. I'm like, how the hell am I supposed to tell? Like, I don't know this stuff.
Yeah.
But yes, the conversation gets so crazy and heated by you complimenting somebody. So I'm going to ask y'all this. I wonder why, when somebody gives the long hair the compliment, that the first thing out of the female's mouth usually is, that ain't even her hair. What's up with that?
I'm going to tell you why.
It's because people worship the hair, and they don't look at the person inside. Sometimes you don't even have to be fly. If you had that fly hair and that fly weave, you know, in the body, you know, guys are digging you. So I think sometimes the hair comes before the beauty, or it comes before the mind and the elegance or the inner beauty. People place too much attention and emphasis on hair. A lot of guys do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I guess, you know, some people definitely feel that way. I wasn't saying it to in that light. I just, you know, thought that, first of all, she was a beautiful girl, and she had long, flowing hair. And I guess you are kind of conditioned, you know, as you grow up, long, flowing hair. You see models running in the sand, the hair is flowing in the back. But I also girls that got the natural look, natural do, beautiful women. People can't, you know, everybody can't rock that.
I was just about to say that.
So I actually give you more props if you rock the natural do and you look good, because
mm-hmm.
that's not for everybody.
It's really not. And if you know you can't do it, because at this point, I don't know if I can do it. So you know what works best for you and what fits you, and I encourage that.
mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
I feel you on that. I've been rocking a natural look for years and years and years. Again, I don't have anything against the weave, and I just
mm-hmm.
think it's an expensive undertaking to get it right. You got to spend some money
mm-hmm.
on
most
it.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, because if it's going to look, absolutely, you said it.
You
must spend.
Seen the Chris Rock movie?
Oh, yeah,
yes.
I've seen that.
Good hair.
I did. What was it called? Yeah, Good Hair. I did see
that.
That
was
good
an
hair.
Amazing eye-opener into that world. That was an amazing eye-opener to that world for me. I was looking at that like, wow, this is a lot of money going down the drain. A lot
mm-hmm.
of sisters don't have it. You
mm-hmm.
know, the kids' clothes are dirty because they got to get that weave right. And
mm-hmm.
the part of the movie, I'll let you guys get to the interview. The part of the movie that intrigued me so much is when the Indian guy landed with the suitcase and was just going from shop to shop
mm-hmm.
making money.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's
right,
like this dude
right.
had a bag of cocaine and he was just going from shop
right.
to shop making
it's
this
crazy.
Stuff. It was crazy.
It can be a cripple. Mm-hmm. I feel like women should be caring for their hair with or without a weave, and then without that weave, your hair should still be manageable and look healthy and be healthy. So that's just my take on it. Try to how I like to groom myself.
We don't retain the money in our communities and our businesses that hair generates. So
mm-hmm.
it's
right.
funny.
You're
it was
right.
not funny. Al Sharpton made that point. We wear our oppression on our hair, on our head.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That weave.
Yeah, we got to get right with
that.
Instead
of the diapers and the Pampers. And we don't feel good about ourselves unless we have that weave done. And I understand wanting to walk out the house with your hair looking perfect and intact.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I get that. But,
mm-hmm.
woo, look at that cycle of you know, where it comes from and the people
mm-hmm.
in India that are thinking they're giving their hair up as a sacrifice. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy,
that
right?
It was. But I was happy for that to come out. I was really proud.
A lot of black women weren't.
Documentary. I didn't have a problem with it at all.
A lot of black women were really heated that he exposed That Secret. Mm. I remember girls talking about that movie like, he went too far. He done went too far.
Wow, really?
And I'm like, well, how'd he go too far? He told the truth.
Right. He told the truth.
Right.
They need to show that in all the elementary schools and all the high
schools.
They do. It needs to be part of Black History Month.
It does. It really does. It was real. It was real.
And Kwanzaa. They need to show it at Kwanzaa and Black History Month.
Yeah,
it should
real.
Be part
it's
of the whole African
real.
Curriculum.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It should. When I saw that chemical melt that can and burn that can, I was like,
right.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are funny to me. Y'all are fun. I like y'all.
We like you too.
Okay.
Yeah, nah,
back
Ron
to my album.
Ron
I got a CD.
Awesome. Yeah, back to that album.
Yeah,
back
yes,
to that
yes.
CD.
Yes.
I got a Christmas
we're
CD, y'all.
On the shelves right next to the perm kit.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Well, yes, definitely back to your current projects, Ms. Rhonda. I want to ask you as well, who other – you mentioned Apollo, and then I wanted to ask you any other artists that you work with. I see you have Eric Roberson on this single. Anybody else that you want to mention that you had an opportunity to work with while creating album one and so on?
Okay, well, I'll mention this CD was spearheaded by Mr. Al Ross. He mixed, mastered, engineered, produced Mark Nelson, myself, and Malik O'Neill. We wrote three of the songs on the CD. Three are originals,
mm-hmm.
seven are covers, and they were arranged by Tony White, Ed Robinson, and then my musicians. There were four fabulous musicians, Dexter Whitaker on bass, Rod Harris on guitar, Leon Alexander on drums, and Tyrone Jackson on keys. Mike Jones played saxophone. So just a family of musicians. My business partner,
mm-hmm.
Ron Smith, was the one that pushed me to even do this CD. I was about to start recording something else, and he said, hey, you're supposed to do this Christmas CD, and there's no
mm-hmm.
way I could have done it without this team of musicians that came together and said, hey, you know, we got you. We'll do the arrangements. We'll take care of this, that, and the other. You just come, write on three of the songs, give your input, and we'll make it happen. And Eric Roberson, I asked him to sing on a song. He was like, cool, no problem. I have a duet with my friend Alex Lattimore. So this Christmas CD is very special to me, and it's being received so well by different ages, young and old, and everybody loves Christmas, you know. Even if you don't celebrate Christmas, you can really feel these songs. There's a song, My Favorite Things, on here. I used to watch The Sound of Music with Julie Andrews
mm-hmm.
with my brother
yes.
and my mom. And, you know, she would sing, raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. And that was in 3-4 time, 1-2-3-2-2-3-3-2-3-4-2-3.
Yes.
Yes. But we changed it up, and we, you know, decided we wanted to make it more Al Green, Mavis Staples. So the guitar line comes in. How's it go? And then I start singing. Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens.
Okay.
Like copper kettles, warm woolen mittens. And so you can just really feel
yeah,
that
damn
funk with it. And so I'm real happy that we have something like that on there. But then we have Mistletoe, which is just a real flirty song. And then Little Drummer Girl, which talks about, you know, the commercialism behind getting caught up in debt and trying to buy this for that person, and they don't even remember what you bought them or what they got for Christmas the next year, and how it needs to focus on what the true meaning of Christmas is. There's a Kwanzaa song that we end the CD with, which is really cool because I celebrate both Christmas and Kwanzaa, which you can do, and I do that so that I can start the new year off right and make sure that I buy in my communities and that I employ other African-Americans and that, you know, I try to focus on my health and well-being, and Kwanzaa kind of gets me started with the new year. The CD before this was Listen, and I actually had a duet on there with Mr. Isaac Hayes, but when he passed away, his estate wasn't 100%, kind of like that whole James Brown situation. So I didn't have the rights to have his voice on the song. So, we're still working on it. My friend Avery Sunshine sang on a song with me, Just Us. And the CD before that, Breathe New Life, three of the songs were Bluey from Incognito. He helped me with some of the arrangements on three of the songs from that CD. I'm trying to answer this succinctly. Other people I've sung with, Sam Moore of Sam and Dave. When I was with Isaac Hayes, I've sung background for Dionne Warwick out with Isaac Hayes. I shared the stage with Luther Vandross. I was singing at a club, and he heard me singing, and he came up and sang with me, so that was pretty awesome.
Wow.
Neat. India Irie, Donnie here in Atlanta, Algebra here in Atlanta, just some fabulous independent artists as well as mainstream artists, Anthony David. So I've been blessed to go through this journey and retain a lot of who I am without sacrificing my sound or my vision. Being an independent artist isn't the easiest thing. The greatest thing about signing with a major is that you have that tour support and they get your music out there and you have that distribution. And as an indie artist, we're just blessed to know people like you all that allow the music to be heard. And we retain the monies from the sales of the records, so I can keep that in my camp for my musicians that play and those that write on it. You know, we're trying to do things, you know, smarter.
No, absolutely. And I was going to ask you, what was the most challenging or difficult thing that you have learned that you didn't know about the industry then or now, being independent or touring?
I think for me, this is a crazy answer. No one's ever asked me that question. That's a great question. For me, it's the amount of sacrifice and money that you have to put in it to get the quality that you want. I'm not saying you have to put up exuberant amounts of money. Don't get jacked by the okey-doke. But I'm about quality, and I'm not going to put something out that doesn't represent who I am. But I noticed the more people see you doing well and having quality material and working with fabulous artists, they think you have more money. that's a gift and a curse, because I'm still funding this project on my own. It's just that I'm working with people that understand my vision. So, again, some of the harder things are challenging. I won't say hard, but challenging is trying to figure out other avenues to get your music heard in different, you know, ways of, getting that exposure. Even people that want to purchase my CD can go to my website, rhondasings.com, and the campaign we came up with, which is an example of what I'm talking about, is if you buy five or more CDs and you provide me with the names, which you can do through the website and PayPal, I'll sign them and they can be personalized gifts for the holiday season. So we've had a number of do that. Yeah, I think that's pretty cool, five or more. And, you know, we can get more product out that way. Something else we did, I have my Christmas CD release concert here in Atlanta on Friday, in 2 days. And I partnered with my church, and they sold a certain amount of tickets, and half of the proceeds go to their building fund, you know. So, you try to think of ways to give back to the community, but still be able to do what you're doing as an artist without sacrificing who you are. Because a lot of people are sitting on music and want to record something and can't. But you just have to be creative.
Absolutely. And me and my and Golden were just talking about that. Like, prior to this show, we were just going in a deep conversation about this in particular. So that hit home, you know, that really did. And then I was going to ask you, without giving up kind of the marketing plan, what would you say contributes to your success? And you mentioned the team and you know, that work ethic. And how do you plan to kind of keep that momentum going as you move forward with your next project?
Tenacity, I don't take no for an answer. I come up with different ways to make something happen. I think I'm pretty innovative in the ideas that I come up with. I don't just have this straight cookie cutter plan, because that's not going to work for an independent artist. The whole internet is just fabulous. The Facebook. When I first started with my first CD, I guess that was like 2004 maybe, I was mailing CDs out to people in the Netherlands and, you know, overseas, just to try to get them to play it. You know, now I can send it via internet. I mean, I sound like I invented the microwave or something, but like I discovered the microwave. But that makes a huge difference to make those connect with people, and you have to utilize that and do it, you know, smart. So, yeah, I don't really have this straightforward marketing plan, but I know that what I do know is that I'm doing music that feeds my soul, and in turn, other people can receive it, and I stay true to who I am. My lyrics are usually that of my experiences or experiences that others have had, and that keeps the music going, because I feel like when I work with different musicians, they get where I'm coming from, and they hear my voice, and we create timeless tracks, timeless music, not music that's just going to be played right now, that's some kind of fad. I make it a point of pulling from the past. You got to know your jazz. You got to know your R&B to have classic music that's going to be timeless. And I think that's what's going to keep me in the game.
No, I totally agree with you. And, you know, it's amazing because Golden Fleeces, he actually does production, and his team and himself, they try to incorporate all those elements. He actually sent me a track to write to, and it's got jazz all over it, yet it's urban and up to date. So something that matches and meshes with me well. So I can totally relate to that, and I'm excited for you and everything you have coming up. And I hope you'll come back when you have your next project, so we can push that CD here, and you're always welcome to come back anytime you'd like. And I know I said I was going to take too much of your time, but I did have one last thing I wanted to kind of ask you, and that was what would be your advice to give to someone who is just starting out or is in the independent route? Because a lot of people do get discouraged because they don't have, like you said, the means, the funds, and sometimes even the connections. So what would you say if they truly want to get into that industry? What would be some advice you would give them?
I guess you could start out kind of like I did. If you're new on the scene, going to different jam sessions, singing, connecting with people in your area so that they can hear you and you can get your ear to the pavement and check out who the hot producer is. If you're really good, people will want to work with you. I would say continue to or start to write your own songs, your own music, so that you can have your voice and, you know, retain your own thoughts and get them out on paper. First and foremost, make sure that you can sing. Nothing worse than somebody pounding the pavement and trying to do this thing, and they're not great.
Yes.
Not everybody needs to sing. Yes. There are other talents that you may have, and clearly if you're singing and you're not fly, then maybe you don't have any friends to let you know that that's just not for you.
Right.
So really take an inventory of what you're trying to do, because maybe you're not a singer. Maybe you're a songwriter. Maybe you're not a songwriter. Maybe you're a marketing person. You know, I know people want that limelight, but that's not always where the money is. The money's in the writing, if that's what you're trying to do. But for me, if I didn't sing, I wouldn't be able to breathe. So I use that as my as a calming source of tranquility and therapy. It's very therapeutic for me to sing. So find out whether that's even what you're supposed to be doing. So if you're in a city, connect with people in your area. Try to think outside of the box. Think about what your style is. Make sure you retain your style, but you don't have to do what everybody else does, you know, because then how does that set you apart? I guess those are good answers. I don't have much more than that.
Wonderful.
Get a good team. Get a great team. Get some good people working with you who you trust. Make sure you know the business, too. Don't just throw all of your talent and time and efforts and what's the word I'm looking for? Trust in people to do everything for you. You need to find out what's up. Learn how to do it so that you can kind of have some checks and balances on somebody else that's doing that particular job, because you can't do everything. You need some help, know what that person is doing.
You know what? Golden, I know you're still on the line listening. Doesn't it sound like Ms. Rhonda Thomas was in on the conversation with us we had before we even aired the show? I mean, that's crazy.
It's pretty crazy.
Really?
We were just going in on that.
Conversation about that, because, you know, it's kind of crazy how a lot of people don't, you know, educate themselves in the field that they want to be in simply because it's entertainment. But it's just like if you was going to school and you had to take a test, you know what I'm saying? You'd have to study for the test.
That's right.
So I tell people all the time, man, look, you need to understand what you're getting into. You need to understand where payment comes from. You need to understand royalty, publishing. You need to understand all of that before you, you know, just skip around here, like you said, and try to get somebody to sign you up or invest all their money, which you're going to have to pay back. And if you don't get to a certain point, you're in the hole. And just a lot of different stuff. I used to actually throw seminars about it. So I understand exactly what you're saying, especially with the make sure you can sing. You think that that's funny. It sounds funny, and it's like we should definitely laugh when you say that, but it's so serious. You got the people going hard, super hard, and they suck. They can't sing. They haven't taken no classes, and they're up in everybody's face trying to sing. But you know what? Let me tell you what's funny about that. That weave done got a few through the door.
It did.
You feel what I'm saying?
And that's sad.
Somebody done put on them tight leggings.
Yep.
They done put on them tight leggings. They done put on them high heels.
Yep.
They done hit that
that's
audition.
That's my point.
They suck.
They didn't have to know how to suck. They didn't even have to know how to do nothing.
On.
They could play the spoons. They could do the hand bone. As long as that weave looks good in that body, they'll make them into a star.
They will.
Oh, most definitely. And that's what they got, the auto-tune, the Melodyne. They got all that ready for them. So they still take them on. And, you know, it's just crazy. I always say that the talented people, you know, sometimes need to have more hustle than untalented. You find a lot of untalented people that aren't afraid to get rejected. And they're all up in everybody's face.
Yeah.
A dude told me back in the day, he's like, Mike, I wake up every day and I look for the no. I look for somebody to say no to me. He's like, if I don't get the no, I'm not opening my mouth to get the yes. And I was like, wow, dog, that statement was so profound. And I was like, he's like, wake up every day looking for no. If you don't get it, that means you're not opening your mouth for what you want.
Wow.
And
yeah,
there's some
nice
people that wake up every day knowing that they shouldn't be where they want to go and still ask. And they get into positions. Like, I know people in high positions right now. And if you knew the story, you'd be like, wow, really? I wonder if I would have did something like that, but actually had the talent, actually had the resume, but didn't have the, excuse my language, the nuts to go try to get that done.
That's a good point you make. There's a lot of talented people out there that just don't have enough gumption and tenacity, and they're sitting around and they don't have the wherewithal to propel their career, to take it any farther. So they're just wishing, oh, I'm going to make that CD one day. I'm going to do this one day. And they just don't.
They don't. You're right. So those are all good points. I think those are all good answers that you gave. And I just enjoyed the interview completely, you know, knowing the background from Isaac Hayes. You know, they always call me an old soul. I produce records, so I'm always digging in the crates, listening to old music. Like, I listen to old music more than I listen to current music. So I'm you know, definitely excited that you brought up all of those names and, you know, singing with Luther and all that. Come on, you did your thing, you know what I'm saying? So I wish you much success, and I'll be on the lookout for everything you're getting done. So, you know, hope all
Thank
continues
you,
to go well.
I appreciate
no
that.
No
so if your listeners want to check me out, they can go to the website, rhondasings.com. That's R-H-O-N-D-A. They can check me out on Facebook, Rhonda Thomas Sings, or tweet me at Ron Vocals.
That's right.
Nice.
Yes, and we're going to make sure we put all those on the Twitter so everybody that's listening can go and see them and click on the link and get familiar and purchase. And check out Rhonda when she's performing. And we did have somebody that called. I don't know if they're just listening or they had a question, so I would hate to not take the call. So 1 second, I'm going to have to do it live.
Sure.
G14 Radio to Cut, you're live. G14 Radio to Cut. Air code 646. Okay, I'm going to put them back. Put them back, let them listen. And just so you know, we do have a lot of your fans listening in, and this show is recorded, so you can go back and listen if you missed any parts of the story, from everything from the childhood to Isaac Hayes and to the good and bad hair discussion and on to the projects as well. But anything else, Ms. Rhonda, that you would like to share with our audience?
I love the fact that I do live in Atlanta, and we have that whole mechanism, that force to be reckoned with. We have a radio station, WCLK, here, College Station, where your music can be played, and then we have Moods Music, Daryl Harris, he owns that store. So you have a record store that will sell your music, and then you have venues where you can perform. You don't have that in you know, many cities anymore, and that whole machine is important to what we do. So I always thank them for allowing the music to be heard. And I thank you all again, because without you, hey, I'd just be selling the CDs out the car and playing them on a boombox or something. So I so appreciate all the internet radio listeners and, you know, DJs out there that are feeling the music and letting it be heard. I really think there needs to be affirmative action for independent artists. I think on major radio, for every 3 or 4 major label artists they should play one indie artist. And not just because it helps the indie artist, but because it helps the listener to make sure they have a discerning ear. The more you hear the same song over and over and over again, even if you didn't like it the first time, you start just vibing to it, and you start not to be able to discern quality music from less quality. So, and then you have parents, like I'm sure our parents, they played music that was of quality that we grew up with. A lot of parents, whether they're younger now or just uneducated about music, if they don't know, they're passing that to the next generation. And so we're kind of dumbing down our whole, you know, what am I trying to say? We're dumbing down our people. We're dumbing down our ear. We're dumbing down who we are. We're giving away blues. We've given it away. You go to a blues concert, everybody in the audience is white. You go to hear jazz. There's not many of us there really appreciating it anymore. So let's not keep giving it away. There are avenues out there. If you really, really want to hear good music, you can go to satellite radio. You can go to internet radio, but you have to take the time to listen and find it out. So thank you, Onyx, and thank you, Golden Fleece.
No, thank you.
Holidays and Merry Christmas to you all. And I hope you stay away from that pie a little bit, but, you know, indulge as much as you can, but then you get in the gym, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm going to definitely be working it out. There's no question. I already downloaded my running app on my iPhone. So I'm going to go ahead and make that happen. So I'm going to get it back. If I lose it, I'm going to get it back.
All right.
right. You got to get your sexy back. You got to get your player status back. Come on.
Yes.
Yeah,
you can do
stay
it.
With that. I got to stay with that. Definitely, definitely. But we appreciate you. Happy holidays
yes,
to you,
we
too.
Do. Yes, happy holidays.
Thank
and have
you.
A very happy new year as well. We look forward to having you back.
Sounds great. All right, and thank you to your listeners. Take care, you guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Have a good evening. Bye.
Take care, Rhonda.
G14 Radio, that was Rhonda Thomas. Again, she's been on the line with us, joined us for pretty much part of the whole show. That was a pleasure. What do you think, Cole?
Yeah, no, Rhonda was awesome, man.
Yeah.
Fellow Strong Islander, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That was
mm-hmm.
great to hear. Roosevelt right up the block. So she was real dope, man. She was real dope. A lot of great experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got artists out here pushing, you know, great product. She's got great relationships, people that's, you know, Eric Roberson, man, you know, that dude's doing his thing. And
mm-hmm.
for him to hop on the track when she calls and, you know, things like that, man, you can always go out there and create your relationships as long as you're doing things the right way, doing solid business, you know what I'm saying? So all the independent artists listening, man, just look, you know, she's working with major people, got a whole team around her, you know, pretty much financing everything herself. So.
That's right.
You know, you could do it, too.
And make it profit, because definitely before she had mentioned that she had other albums, I pulled them up, and that's kind of, you know, pretty much they were great. The ratings were great. The units, everything was looking wonderful. So that was just really nice and refreshing to see an independent artist doing their thing, you know, especially
yeah,
in that genre. So, yeah, very nice, very nice. Well, did you have anything in particular? I hate this part now because it was pretty heavy this week in news, and you know, I know we got.
Yeah, I think next week we'll come back with the hip hop news.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, everything I just pretty much wanted to say, you know, keep those, you know, Sandy Hook victims. In your prayers, in our prayers, and, you know, just really just realize that, you know, there's a lot of crazy things going on in the world right now, but the incident that happened a few days ago where innocent kids
mm-hmm.
got killed, you know,
mm-hmm.
by that big gun, just imagining that is just absolutely crazy. And
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say, you know, that, you know, our prayers are with those people and those families out there in Connecticut, I think Newtown,
definitely.
Connecticut. And, you know, just, you know, I guess, you know, take care of your family, man. You know, have a good holiday with your family, you know. Treasure the ones you got here, you know, because you never know, man. You never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I don't have much to add to that, it was beyond a shock, and I just, you know, I have put them in my prayers, and I just can't imagine, especially, you know, being a mother of 7-year-olds, so I just, that was a heavy one, and I am glad to see that it looks like there's a lot of action being put forth now
right.
versus just a blowover. It happened, and then we, you know, act like it didn't. So that is.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, they gotta. I hope not. Because
no.
Kids, children, innocent. I mean, you know, and the more details that come out about how this guy did it, it's really crazy. And it's weird, man. It's wild. While that was going on that same day, there was a Chinese man over in China that stabbed 22 kids. Yeah, he stabbed 22 kids, but they all lived and they only had stab wounds.
Oh,
and, you know, the people on the, you know, news pundits and the reporters
mm-hmm.
were saying this should prove that we have to do something
mm-hmm.
about these gun laws because, look, the same thing happened over there.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids get to grow up just with knife wounds.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, with this automatic weapon and these big rounds of ammo, just took out all these kids, like ended their lives, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And who knows whether the guy in China was really trying to actually, you know, kill these kids, but he was trying to get some point across. But thank God he didn't have one of these yeah. weapons that, you know, the guy had over here in the United States. So as you can see,
yeah.
even if people want to do evil, if they don't have certain things to accomplish it with, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. that maybe it's not as bad as it right. ended up being out there in Connecticut.
Right. And, I really hate that that happened. I know everyone does. And that was just, it's really hard to even discuss and to look at the news. But we got a phone call today from the school my sons are attending, and it was a long automated message about, you know, the doors are being locked. The minute they're late, you're showing your ID, you can't get in. Like, it's everybody's going on lockdown mode right now, and I hope that it stays like that, and it should, because this was too much. It really was. So hopefully that's being implemented in all the school systems, and, you know, people are going to take it more serious as far as the visitors and having to have a proper identification to get into the building and then having security, you know, just things like that. So I do thank, you know, God for that.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, one of my homeboys called me today. He has a daughter in high school, and he said that a lot of kids were talking about bringing guns to school on a certain what was the date that the world's supposed to end or something?
Oh,
the apocalypse date.
Yeah, this,
because
yeah,
I'm just right. like, you know, this shit is getting too out of hand. You know,
yeah.
it's a deeper problem, but, you know, you're going to have to try to address it piece by piece. But it's just the violence is celebrated in mm-hmm. the United States, whether it's your action hero, your video games, you know what I'm saying? It's
mm-hmm.
like, and that's one thing about, you know, hearing what this kid did. He liked to play video games.
Yeah,
you all say,
that.
You know,
the
thing is, when you're a personality like that and nobody
Monster.
Likes you or gives you attention or
mm-hmm.
sees you as being funny, it's sad because kids can be cruel.
Mm-hmm.
But when people are put to the side like that, they feel like they're nobody to the people around them. So they engulf themselves in these games and these internet where they actually feel like they're somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know a few kids like that. I know kids that get on that Call of Duty and, you know, they're socially awkward
mm-hmm.
in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And they get on that game and they're awesome. And people are like, oh, you're awesome. You're the best because
mm-hmm.
they're killing everything in sight. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if stuff keeps getting rough for them in life, that fantasy could turn to reality. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know what? I'm awesome at this game and killing people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, since I'm nobody, I want everybody to remember my name.
Mm-hmm.
And they shoot everybody up and kill themselves, and that's what they consider fame.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the only way people will consider them a somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think people really got to look for signs like that in cats,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I see them. I know a few of them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that they're going to kill a bunch
of
people.
No, absolutely, right.
But you see the personality disorder. You see how people treat them. You see
right.
what the things that they excel at, what they like, how they engulf themselves in worlds where they can get away from their reality because their reality to them sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird, man, but it's very complex, and I think there's a lot that has to be done other than just, you know, the gun control.
Yeah.
That mental health thing is real.
Yeah, no, it is, and like I said, I had to stop watching the news. I had to stop looking at it online because the ignorance of some, you know, and where blame should be set and all of that, it's getting, you know, as far as Barack Obama and things like that, that he can't who could have foreseen that? Who could have, well, as far as him and his position, the president, I mean, you can't, I don't think the president's to blame. So I just, that was, I think people need to stop trying to find, you know, and make it negative and try to, again, start being proactive and doing other things like you suggest. And then, you know, just remembering the victims and not all this other stuff that's not going to help the situation, if that makes sense. You know, if it's not going to, if it's not to invoke action, then I don't think that it's necessary to even, you know what I mean, start up a riot. And that's kind of what I've been seeing. I just, I'm at a loss for words for that. So prayers definitely to everyone involved. And, you know, it's crazy. It's getting crazy.
Pretty crazy, definitely pretty crazy. So, you know, we'll get back into the funny, funny aspect of the hip hop world, and you know, serious news and cool. Yeah. And we'll do that next week. But this week, let's just pray for Newtown, Connecticut. Everybody else out there, the South Side, West Side streets of Chicago. You know what I'm saying? Any place that's being plagued with the senseless gun violence, because these kids are dying at a rapid rate, and it's usually for nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we just hope everybody has a great holiday season, and, you know, we'll be back next week.
That's right, and let's move forward with greatness. And also, again, first time listening to G14 Radio The Cut, yes, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, global14.com is the brand. That's Jermaine Dupri's social networking site, so make sure that you sign into that when you have an opportunity. Create your little profile, network with us. Now, I'm at Onyx254, Golden is at Golden Fleece, and then also you can hit us on our Twitters. At Onyx254 at the group. And that's pretty much going to be it. I'm going to say it's a wrap for this Wednesday evening. What do you think?
Yeah. Indeed. We out of here till next Wednesday. And everybody have a safe and happy holiday. You know what I'm saying? So, what is next Wednesday? What date is that?
That is the 26th, the day after Christmas.
Right after Christmas, yeah. So have a happy, you know, Merry Christmas, and hope y'all get everything y'all want, you heard?
Right. Well, I guess I'm going to ride out to some type of Christmas track. I was trying to find one, and hopefully y'all will, you know, rock with it. Have a good one.
Christmas is two gold front teeth and 10 karat diamonds on a fat gold wreath that I can wear around my neck. Get money and respect. Tell Santa Claus to bring a $10 million check so I can spread a little cheer. Fly a couple ears. Eat a little chicken. Drink a couple beers. Kick back and just chill like a player would do. Remix all the Christmas carols and I'll play them for you. Luda! Turn it up until I wake up all the neighbors. They say that I'm a nuisance, but I say they all some haters. Just because I'm poor, they always calling me a faker. And cause my Christmas tree's decorated in toilet paper. But little do they know, they about to see a show. Cause when they come up out the house, I'm gonna blast them with some snow. Frosty's never seen nothing quite like this. And St. Nick's never seen nothing quite like Chris. So,
come Santa Claus. Tread claws.
chestnuts roasting on the fire in the hills. But down below, we firing up the barbecue grills. Ice skating in the driveway, I'ma do it my way. Eggnog got daddy swerving on the highway. Chains on the tires, ice up on the windows. 10 degrees Fahrenheit, freezing as the wind blows. Help me take my boots off and my snowsuit off. Get up in the house and my nose is redder than Rudolph's. I think I need some help with the buckle on my belt. And if Santa doesn't show, I want his cookies and his milk. Tell him I need a jacket, new Jordans and an Xbox. New suits for church and a couple pairs of dress socks. Stuff my stocking with Dolly Ranchers and candy canes. Invite my aunties and uncles, let's do the family thing. Meanwhile, I'm hoping Santa got my wish list, so I can wake up to a very Merry Christmas.
Come Santa Claus.
And then the jingle bells rock. Santa never seems the jingle bells on my block. I hear he's making that list, checking the thing twice. I guess it's probably cause I've been naughty, not nice. But I'ma straighten up my act, get up on track, make a couple bucks and buy mama a Cadillac. And then maybe Santa Claus will come around my way, so all the kids on my block can look up and say, hey,
come Santa Claus, come Santa Claus, down Santa Claus.
Tread, 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 tread.